The average consolidated yield on loans for this quarter was 11.3%, decreasing 61 basis points compared to the same period of 2016 and 27 basis points as compared to the previous quarter. Yield reduction was driven by our Colombian commercial portfolio. The yield of our consumer portfolio remained basically stable during the quarter. Yield on commercial loans fell 48 basis points quarter on quarter to 8.8%, driven by a 64 basis points reduction in the yield of our Colombian commercial portfolio to 9.3%. The yield of our commercial portfolio in Colombia reflects the fluctuations of the central bank's intervention rate that on average has fallen 108 basis points during the quarter to 119 basis points compared to four quarters earlier. Our Colombian corporate loan portfolio, which accounts for 47% of total gross loans, is over 90% floating rate and reprices with a few months lag to changes in the central bank intervention rate. The yield on consumer loans has been less sensitive to the central bank rate reductions, given that a substantial part of this portfolio has a fixed rate and that the market has been less aggressive in bidding down the prices of those loans, consistent with the higher delinquency ratios experienced over the past few quarters. The average yield of our consumer loan portfolio was 16.8% during the quarter. The average cost of fund of our consolidated operation was 4.1% during the quarter, 71 basis points lower than the 4.8% recorded a year earlier and 23 basis points below the 4.3% recorded a quarter earlier. This results from a 33 basis points improvement in the cost of funds in Colombia during the quarter and stability in Central America. Isolating the effect of the non-financial sector funding, the cost of funds for the financial sector of 4% decreased 70 basis points when compared to a year earlier and 26 basis points when compared to a quarter earlier. The cost of funds for the non-financial sector and holding company net of eliminations of 6.3% decreased by 85 basis points when compared to a year earlier and increased 26 basis points when compared to a quarter earlier. The sharp decline versus a year earlier is mainly attributable to the non-financial sector's liability, interest rate sensitivity to inflation, and BTF. The quarterly increase is attributable to Grupo Aval's 400 billion peso bond issuance in the Colombian market on June 28, fully impacting the quarter's PDL as compared to the last quarter. We believe that the favorable behavior of our spread on loans is mainly due to a temporary repricing gaps and incorporation of a high-risk premium on certain loans. We expect this environment to unwind as a more dynamic economy brings higher growth and improvement in credit quality of consumer loans next year. On page 17, our net interest margin for the financial sector and Grupo Aval's consolidated operations is presented. Our quarterly net interest income was 2.7 trillion pesos, showing a 10.7% increase when compared to the same quarter a year earlier and a decrease of 1.2% when compared to the previous quarter. Consolidated net interest margin on loans remained stable at 7% compared to the previous quarter and expanded 19 basis points compared to four quarters earlier. This resulted from the spread dynamics described on the previous chart. However, our NIM on investments contracted to 0.3%, 108 basis points short of that recorded a quarter earlier. This lower than average performance resulted from an upward shift in the yield curve of 26, 13, and 15 basis points in the 1-year, 5-year, and 10-year segments of the curve. As a result, the NIM of our consolidated operation, including net trading income from investments held for trading through profit and loss, decreased 14 basis points during the quarter from 6.1% to 5.9%. Our consolidated NIM increased 15 basis points when compared to a year earlier. Our NIM, excluding net trading income from investments held for trading through profit and loss, was stable at 5.9%. Isolating the 21 basis points effect of the non-financial activities, our NIM of 6.1% was 12 basis points lower than that of the previous quarter and increased 7 basis points when compared to a year earlier. We expect full year 2017 NIM to be 20 basis points higher than that of 2016. This performance would revert 40 to 50 basis points during 2018, resulting from pricing into consumer loans, the reduction in central bank rate, and lower cost of risk, as well as higher share of loans priced under a lower interest rate environment. On page 18, we present fees and other income. Gross fee income grew 8.5% compared to the same period a year earlier and 1% to the previous quarter. Fees grew by 8.1% and 0.2% respectively compared to those periods, when excluding the effect of FX movements on Central America. Growth was slightly stronger than that of our loan portfolio and was driven by transactional fees from banking services. Banking fees continue to account for close to 3/4 of our fee income, followed by pension and severance fund management that contributes with over 17% of our fee income. Broken by geography, Colombia accounted for 61% of total gross fees. Domestic fees grew 7.6% compared to the same quarter 12 months earlier, while Central American fees grew 9% in dollar terms, a 10% increase in Colombian peso terms over the same period. The bottom of the page, we present other income. Other income for the quarter was 525 billion pesos. Other income increased by 6.5% during the quarter, driven by higher income from the non-financial sector, mainly from our energy and gas companies. This result was 15.3% lower than 4 quarters earlier, affected by a lower contribution of our toll road concessions and construction, explained by the termination of the tolls. On page 19, we present efficiency ratios. Our cost control initiatives have delivered positive results. Cumulative operating expenses as of September increased by 3.7% compared to the same 9 months a year earlier, or 6.8% when excluding the wealth tax. This result comes in spite of the low growth experienced throughout the year and the high labor union wage increase that resulted from high inflation that was prevailing during key months last year for setting union wage salaries at Banco de Bogotá. Our efficiency ratio, measured as operating expenses to total income of 46.8% during the quarter, was slightly better than the 46.9% recorded 3 months earlier and 1 percentage point higher than that recorded for 4 quarters before. In Colombia, this ratio improved to 44.1%, down from 44.5% reported during the second quarter, and deteriorated when compared to the 42.1% reported 4 quarters earlier. It is worth mentioning that among other initiatives, Banco de Bogotá eliminated 400 positions in Colombia, generating one-time costs of approximately 16 billion pesos. Absent of this one-time cost, the quarterly efficiency would have been 50 basis points lower than the quarter. In Central America, this ratio improved to 52.5%, down from 53.7% a year earlier, and deteriorated from 51.8% during the second quarter of 2017. Our efficiency measured as operating expense to average assets of 3.5% remained unchanged compared to the previous quarter and increased from 3.4% in the third quarter of 2016. The Central American and Colombia operations reported 4.4% and 3.1% respectively during this quarter. Compared to 4 quarters earlier, Central America improved 26 basis points from 4.7%, while Colombia was up from the 2% then recorded. Both regions remained substantially stable compared to the previous quarter. Regarding efficiency ratio, we expect to maintain our current cost to assets for the full year 2017 and to improve 10 basis points for 2018. Finally, on page 20, we present our net income and profitability ratios. Our total net income for the quarter was 438 billion pesos, or 19.7 pesos per share, accumulated 1,496 billion pesos, or 67.1 pesos per share year-to-date. Return on average assets and return on average equity for the quarter were 1.3% and 11.2% respectively. Before we move to questions and answers, I will now summarize the general guidance for 2017 and 2018. We expect 2017 loan growth to be in the 6 to 7% area and 9 to 10% area in 2018. Deposit growth will be slightly below loan growth for both years. We expect 2017 cost of risk net of recoveries to be in the 2.4% area. We expect an improvement to 2.25% area for next year as the consumer credit cycle starts to revert. 2018 will still carry some burden from SITP and Electricaribe. These figures are under ES 39 guidance, and the impact of IFRS 9 will be disclosed later in our year-end report. We expect full year 2017 NIM to be 20 basis points higher than that of 2016. This performance would revert 40 to 50 basis points during 2018, resulting from the pricing into consumer loans of the reduction in central bank rates and the lower cost of risk. We expect fee income to grow at a slightly faster pace than loan volume. Regarding efficiency ratio, we expect to maintain our current cost to assets for full year 2017 and improve 10 basis points in 2018. We expect our marginal tax rate to be in the 35% area in 2017 and 33% for 2018. Finally, we expect our 2017 ROE to be in the 12% area, picking up to 13% in 2018. We now open it for questions and answers.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star then one on your touchtone phone. If you wish to be removed from the queue, please press the pound sign or the hash key. If you are using a speakerphone, you may need to pick up the handset first before pressing the numbers. Once again, if you have a question, please press star then one on your touchtone phone. The first question is Gabriel Nobrega from UBS. Gabriel, go ahead.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for the opportunity to ask questions. My first question is regarding your loan growth. We saw that it was growing close to 9% in this quarter, and I just want to understand what lines you are expecting to contribute to this contraction reach your target of 6-7% this year. And moreover, as we go into 2018, which lines do you expect to show a stronger growth? And my second question is regarding asset quality. We have seen NPL ratios increasing once again in this quarter, and I just want to get a bit more color of where you believe we are in the asset quality cycle and what should we expect going into 2018. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Gabriel. Regarding loan growth, we expect to see some pickup from our corporate portfolio. We've started to see some reaction that is in line with the seasonality that we usually have around the end of the year cycle. As the process the cycle continues to improve on the consumer portfolio, we expect our willingness to lend in this segment to increase. This ties very much with your second question, and it is around where in the NPL cycle are we. The way to think about it is there's basically a sequence of effects that needs to happen. You first need to see a GDP starting to grow faster. What follows that is an improvement in unemployment, and you finally start to see a substantial recovery of consumer NPLs particularly. We have already started to see some pickup in the economy of around, moving to up to 2%, up from 1.2 and 1.3 that we saw during the first couple quarters, and also a very slow quarter at year end last year. On the unemployment front, signals are not yet that clear. However, we have started to see a pause in the deterioration of our consumer loan portfolio that hints that there could be something already happening in the economy. In that sense, we haven't changed our guidance for this year. We still, even though we have already seen better performance of the economy during the third quarter, we haven't yet seen the improvement in unemployment that would give us more confidence to see recovery on consumers faster. The other thing that you need to take into consideration is that rates have lowered in a very substantial manner. This is very important, first for the corporate companies where loans are floating. Therefore, the relief on their cost has already begun to happen from several months ago already. On the consumer front, in the absence of rate reductions, rates for consumers should have gone up given the higher cost of risk that we have experienced. Part of the reason why this hasn't reacted faster than perhaps the central bank and some government officials would expect is that we have to price in this, I wouldn't say lower quality but higher cost of risk. If the process continues and we continue to see this recovery, we expect to see prices on consumer loans to fall as well. And as we pick up in underwriting, the number of young loans that are priced under this environment will be higher than what we have experienced. So the combination of all these will transfer prices as well to the consumers. This is a very long way to tell you that we do expect to see rates impacting in a very thorough way, not only growth, but also loan quality.
Thank you. Next question, Nicolas Riva from Citi. Nicolas, go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. I guess my question is, it's a follow-up on the quality question that Gabriel did. And if I look right now at your cost of risk, clearly you're running well above historical average. You already said that next year you're expecting to see an improvement in the economy and therefore a decline in the cost of risk. However, if I look at your projection for next year, which I believe you said around 2.3% for cost of risk, that's still quite above that historical average if I go back 10 years of about 1.6%, especially for a bank which is more focused on commercial loans. So my question is, when do you think you can go back to that more normalized historical level for cost of risk? Thanks.
Nicolas, you're right. We do have a positive bias on the guidance that we gave of 2.25, but we haven't yet seen some of the facts that we would love to see before we adjust those numbers down. Our main concern of why these numbers shouldn't improve much faster than you would imagine from reverting to historic averages is that GDP is not expected to return to the 4.5% growth rates that we were accustomed to seeing. This is a new reality where we might revert to something around low 3% until a number of things happen in the economy. Under this environment, we prefer to be cautious on our expectations of recovery. We have already seen that happening, but the number where we will stop, we yet need to understand much better. We believe that if 2019 growth starts to pick up or evidence of better growth for 2019 appears, we can become more positive as the year progresses. But you know, we're pretty fact-based and we would like to see unemployment figures and other figures also improving. The other event that is built into these numbers is we also have SICP provisions built into our number. As Luis Carlos mentioned, we should be moving up to 50% provisions with the information we have at this point. So we're also cooking that into the number, and that's why the number isn't substantially lower.
Thank you. Next question. Jason Malin from Scotiabank. Go ahead.
Hello, thank you. So you were kind of addressing that question on provisioning. So this includes, this outlook includes, as you said, cooking in some high provisions. Is that for the full year? Should we be seeing this next year, full year 2018, cooking those in? And if we take that out, what kind of run rate of profitability are you looking for? 13% ROE for next year is still well below where you were operating before this year with the large credit event. So I'm just trying to get a sense of what's behind this limited improvement, but limited improvement in return on equity.
You're absolutely right. This is the main driver of this guidance. Trying to summarize what Luis Carlos said at the very beginning, we have some things that will not help us that much next year, but there's a few that will be quite positive, and that's why we come up with 13% at this point. The negatives are we see some contraction in net interest margin, and then we also see growth, even though picking up from this year, not yet up to the point we would like to see it. The positive, though not yet as positive as we would see it, moving further into the cycle is cost of risk. We see cost of risk still higher than it should be in the longer term. And that's the reason why we brought down our estimate for next year to 13%. In absence of these, we should be getting closer to 14% once these issues are cleared up.
Thank you. Next question, Sebastian Gallego from Credicorp Capital.
Two questions. The first one regarding your risk appetite going forward, particularly on the commercial front and most specific on infrastructure after you commented on the infrastructure law. What's your view after the law is supposed to be passed and the details you mentioned on Ruta del Sol? And my second question is also related, but another question regarding Grupo Solarte. They're having some legal investigations going on this group, which is also part of 4G concessions. And I just want to know if you could share with us the exposure to this group from Abal and even from the financial system. Thank you.
Well, regarding the risk appetite on commercial and infrastructure, it continues to be very strong. I think that, as we have mentioned over the past few calls, the appetite for infrastructure has been temporarily hindered because of the delay in seeing payment to Ruta del Sol, as Luis Carlos emphasized at the beginning of this conversation. We are very positive on seeing that payment being done, even though it's been delayed. And in that sense, we do not see any impact in our middle to long-term appetite for infrastructure. What we expect to see, as I believe is a expected result for this kind of cycle, is the kind of sponsors that will be able to commit to infrastructure projects moving on after the learnings of this year should be stronger and larger. That's a change in the profile that we expect to see in sponsors, but we continue to expect infrastructure to be a key piece of our portfolio.
And regarding your question on Grupo Solarte, a couple things. Number one, as you said, there, Mr. Solarte and his daughter apparently are having some problems with regard to a previous contract that they had in Bogota, I think it's Tunguelo Canoas, in which they participated with Odebrecht, of all people. But we're not privy to any details. We don't really know what went on there. As you know, Solarte is also a very minority shareholder in Ruta del Sol, and in that capacity, obviously, we're not affected either way by the Solarte Group being such a minority shareholder in Ruta del Sol. We do work with the Solarte Group as a client, and our exposure to that group is a little bit under $50 million. But it's fully guaranteed, not only in terms of collateral, but also in a cash source of repayment. So we are the way that we are guaranteed in those credits almost give us any peace of mind that, number one, the credits that we have granted the Solarte Group have nothing to do with the case for which they are being apparently indicted, but we don't know if that's going to happen, but apparently so. So the credits that we have to the group are not related to that case. Secondly, as a minority shareholder in Ruta del Sol, really there's no problem there. And thirdly, our credits are very well and fully guaranteed, and so we shouldn't have a problem there. We're not counting that as one of our problems. We are, however, very observant of what goes on with the Solarte Group.
Next question, Cristina Manotas from Davivienda Corredores.
Good morning. I just have one question. I would like to know what is your perspective about the new infrastructure law and financial closures in infrastructure projects that are expected for the next year.
Okay, you're referring to the modification of Article 32 of Law 1508 of 2012, which is what I believe you're referring to. We are very confident that the modification the way that it was proposed is going to be very beneficial to the 4G projects in terms both of financing being available to them after, as you know, more than as well as ourselves, there's been a lull in financings and in financial closings of the 4G projects. A big reason for that lull is that banks, as you know, that we've included, have stayed out of financings pending the law or the modification to be passed. As we know, that the modification passed, and the important thing about it is that it clarifies, and it more than that, it specifies how to liquidate a concession that is declared null, such as the case of or similar to what is happening to Ruta del Sol. The important thing is that banks now know going forward, if a situation like that arises again, now banks will know exactly what money they will get and when they will get it and how it's calculated, and they won't have to go through this, I would call it a torture of what's happened this year and all the situation around trying to decide when this first payment is going to be made and when the rest of the payments are going to be made. So, to answer your question, we see it very positively, the modification to the law as with respect to Article 32. There are two other articles there that we believe are just as important. Number one is, as you know, they have now by law the documentation required to participate in order to put out a bid will be identical in all cases, and therefore these what we call custom bids that have happened in the past will no longer happen. And then thirdly, there's the other article that talks about how banks can step in now in case of concession being declared null. Which is something that it's important for banks because, as you know, most of these projects are good projects, are very profitable, and banks should not suffer the consequences of these sponsors incurring in some illegal activity, as other branches did. So, again, just to summarize, we are very happy with what happened. Obviously, as you can see, the law has now only has to be sanctioned by the president. There are still people raising opinions, and after the law had passed by both chambers, there are still people raising their voices and trying to get the law to change. But we feel that both the Minister of Finance and the President they're both very intent on getting this law passed, signed, sanctioned, and getting it done with, and having the financial system again actively participated in 4G.
We have no further question at this time. Mr. Sarmiento, do you have any closing remarks?
No, I just wanted to thank everybody, as always, for participating in our calls. We're striving to do better, as always. We have a myriad of plans that we will be putting in place to make sure that we do so. And as our quarters go on, we hope to improve every single one versus the previous one. So, again, thank you for participating in the call, and we'll see you during the next call.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This concludes today's conference. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect. Participating, 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 you may now disconnect.